Back to the phone lines. This is, wow, talk about, you know, we'll sit here and we look forward to guests who are coming up in a week or two, whatever. And I've so looked forward to this interview, but only for maybe the last 20 hours, because I had no idea that this gentleman, our next guest, was getting into the U.S. Senate race until I heard it late yesterday afternoon. His name is Dr. Stephen Shogan. He's a highly respected neurosurgeon in Colorado with a national reputation as well. Dr. Shogan, welcome to 710 KNUS.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Well, yeah, full disclosure, I mentioned to the audience a couple of minutes ago that you've actually been my doctor, and the reason I went to you is because, you know, I just asked around. I happen to be a plaintiff's attorney, and I asked around, hey, who does everybody think, you know, the top neurosurgeon is? And your name was either at the top or in the top one or two of everybody's list, and I could see why. So when I heard you were getting in the race, it was like, wow, this is no joke. You know how sometimes third-party candidates are kind of a joke? You are no joke. And so would like to start by having you tell folks why you're getting into the race and why you think you can win and what your big issues are going to be.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for the compliments, Mr. Steffels. I appreciate that.
Sure.
I guess, unfortunately, some of the answer to why I'm getting into the race sounds kind of corny, but it really is true. I grew up in the 1960s, and those of us who grew up at that time really thought that we would change the world and make it a better place. And that's a lot of the reason why I went into medicine to begin with and have really greatly enjoyed taking care of patients, and it's really been a privilege to do that. But I always also had a desire to do something on a bigger scale and to have a bigger impact, something that would be more than just helping people in a one-on-one, kind of one person at a time way. So, you know, my feeling is that by getting into this race that and by taking on some of the crucial issues that are facing us, that I'll be able to accomplish something on a larger scale. Mm-hmm. And the biggest issues that I'm looking at are going to be things like the national debt, Social Security reform, and of course, healthcare.
Right, and would like to go through that list a little bit, but I think your reasons for getting in are the noblest, and they're the reasons the founders envisioned and hoped for, you know, candidates stepping forward to take on public service, and you certainly fit the mold of, you know, many of the great figures in our history who've had tremendous accomplishments in their own personal life, professional life, et cetera, before then moving into public service. So I think all of that, you know, lines up very well and will help you reach people. But when it comes to the issues, I think, Doctor, one thing everybody's trying to figure out this morning is, okay, is there any real chance this guy can win? And if he can't win, who's he going to hurt more, Udall or Gardner? So before we get into the individual issues, do you think you have a real chance to win? I don't mean to offend you with the question, but if you do, what is the path to victory that you see?
Well, yes, I do think that I have a real chance to win, and I certainly wouldn't be doing this and running to not win. I think that the path to victory is going to be to appeal to the 35-38% of Colorado voters who are independents, and then to also appeal to both the Democrats and the Republicans who are dissatisfied with the failures of their parties. Mm-hmm. So my hope is that I will take votes from both sides, and my plan is to run in this race to win.
And I certainly understand that logic. I understand the math. You know, the next math question obviously becomes amounts, dollars, money. You know, I forget the most recent projections. You probably know what Udall and Gardner are expected to raise directly, and then massive 527 support on top of that. How are you going to compete financially?
And that definitely is going to be something which is difficult, but there really is a two-part answer to that. First, you know, I think that, you know, it's true that as an independent, I'm not going to have access to the huge amounts of money that the major parties control. My campaign will need to raise money in the old-fashioned way by connecting with the voters on an individual basis and trying to obtain individual donations. But I think that the people in Colorado are sick and tired enough of what's been going on between the Democrats and the Republicans so that they will respond to an independent, and they will, I think, see the value in trying to retake their government from the big money interests, and I hope then will support and donate to an independent candidate.
You know, I have to tell you, I think this is the kind of state, you know, that really would take a serious interest in an independent candidate. I think that's the spirit of the state. I think people are, without regard to either of the individuals in the race for the major parties, I think people are generally, you know, just sick of the partisan gridlock. So yeah, I think you're going to find a lot of open minds. I think you probably won't find a lot of open wallets until the polls start to show you having a real chance to win. It reminds me of John Hickenlooper. I don't know if you remember when Hickenlooper was first elected mayor. He started out with about 1% or 2% in the polls. Ari Zavaris was the heavy favorite to win. Then there were some other candidates who were thought to be major contenders. And John was kind of a funny anomaly. But then the first poll that came out and suggested he might win, you know, I think he almost drowned in money. The money followed the success. So it'll be interesting to see. I have no doubt that if a poll comes out someday, doctor, that shows you have a real chance to win this race, your biggest problem is going to be lining up enough Brinks trucks to collect the money.
Well, that will be a great problem to have, and I'll look forward to that.
Yeah.
The other part of this is that I hope that as a positive campaign, which is what I plan to run, that we will not need as much money as the Democrats and Republicans are spending, because a lot of what they're spending is going to be on personal attack ads, and I certainly don't plan on engaging in any of that. I think that my job is going to be to simply get our message out, and I think that if we're able to do that, that voters will respond and that this campaign will really catch fire.
You know, it's so funny. If you looked at my notes right now, the two words I have on my notepad are catch fire, because I think Colorado is still a small enough state that you can win retail. You can win just by getting your ambulance out and traveling county to county. And if you catch fire, if the idea of you catches fire and then you personally catch fire, this state's small enough that anything could happen. But let me dive into the issues with you for a second, because, again, I think what most people are trying to figure out, most people, I think, are assuming that no matter how strong a candidate you are, that you won't be able to win. And they're trying to figure out who you're going to hurt in the end more, Mark Udall or Cory Gardner. And to figure that out, they need to find out where you're at on the issues, whether you lean left or lean right. How would you first just kind of globally describe yourself ideologically?
Now, globally, I think I would describe myself as a centrist, and that is the plan of this campaign, is to run right in between the two extremes that the major political parties have.
And where do you see these candidates being extreme, Udall and Gardner?
Well, I think that, you know, it's pretty clear that the Republicans are, you know, are very much on the conservative side around many of the social issues, and are more fiscally responsible, and that the Democrats are more on the liberal side and socially, and I think have the concern with the Democrats is that they do not have the same kind of ability to balance the budget. So my plan would be to be more on the socially liberal side, but definitely more on the fiscally conservative side, and really kind of run right in the middle of things.
And if you have the time, I'd like to sort of break that down, at least by category, starting with, let's say, Obamacare. Where are you at on Obamacare?
I think Obamacare was a huge mistake, and I think Obamacare is fatally flawed and really something which is not going to accomplish what it wants to accomplish. It will cost a tremendous amount of money and add to the national debt, and will also, as some of the studies have recently shown, kill employment.
And, you know, it may take a separate show to get into detail, and I'd be happy to do that show with you as to what your solution would be, but can you give us a quick summary, maybe, look at your solution to the health care challenge?
I think overall my solution would involve a two-tiered type of solution, one that would take the very best of what government can do and combine it with the best of what the free market system can do. So I do believe that we need to provide health care to everybody in this country, and we already do that. But the problem is that many of the costs in doing that are kind of hidden, and by doing that, they're not proportionately borne by everyone in society, and that we need to have a system that where government will provide care to everyone at some level, but a market system will be superimposed upon this, and that's where we'll get the efficiency and be able to save money.
Doctor, how's your time? Can you sit through a commercial break and join us for another 5 minutes on the other side?
I would appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I would, too. I'm sure listeners would, because this is wild. I never saw this coming. Highly respected neurosurgeon has entered the U.S. Senate race as an independent candidate. And we'll come back. This is probably the first chance anybody has had to hear from Dr. Shulgin, his position, at least, you know, headline views of his position on the key issues of the day. So we'll come back and do that with our special guest, Dr. Steve Shulgin, now a candidate for U.S. Senate. You're with Dan Kaplis, 710 CAN-US. 9:24 on this glorious Friday. So glad you're here and so glad our guest is here. Wow, I love fresh. This is very fresh. Highly respected neurosurgeon. In fact, it was my neurosurgeon, Dr. Steve Shulgin, has entered the U.S. Senate race as an independent candidate, and we're just about to dive in, at least in headline fashion, to his position on certain issues. The doctor has just told us that he thinks Obamacare is a disaster. He has his own plan combining the best of what the government can do with the best of what the free market can do, and we'll come back in more detail perhaps in another show and really dig into that. Doctor, what are some of the other big issues in your mind? What do you expect to focus most of your campaign on?
Well, I think another one of the big issues is the national debt, which I think is really threatening to poison the future for our children and our grandchildren, and which neither of the major parties is willing to take on.
And how do you take that on?
Well, to begin with, I think that dealing with health care is going to be one of the major things that we'll do, because a large portion of the unfunded liabilities that make up our national debt are represented by the health care costs. And by reforming health care in a more rational way, I think we'll be able to reduce the national debt. But another large portion of it is Social Security, and Social Security reform, I think, is something that also is going to be necessary.
Any key thoughts on how to reform Social Security?
There are a number of different things, but I think the long and the short of it is that Social Security is scheduled to go bankrupt in the early 2030s, and everyone realizes this, and no one's willing to take any steps to try to fix this as things stand now. And the fact is that in one way or another, there will need to be either an increase in revenues regarding Social Security or a decrease in benefits. And the approach that I would take would be to phase in an increase in the age at which you would receive full Social Security benefits, and then peg it to life expectancy. The age that we're receiving Social Security benefits now is pegged to a time when our life expectancy was much shorter, and that this has really exacerbated the debt problem.
And of course, when we do a follow-up show, I'd love to dive into the Medicaid, Medicare part of that with you, predominantly Medicare, though obviously Medicaid, you know, becoming a kind of a swamping effect right now as well. What other key issues?
And then I think another key issue is going to be job creation and the lingering unemployment that exists in Colorado, not quite as much in Colorado as some other states, but also in Colorado where people are still hurting because they just aren't able to find jobs.
And what's your fix there?
Well, there are a number of things that I would try to do in terms of fixing and in terms of creating jobs, and this would be both on the demand side, so ways that we could have employers create more jobs, and then also on the supply side where we would try to match the skills and give the skills to the people to fill those jobs. One of the ideas that I've had and that other people have suggested would be to create a national job database, which could be centered here in Colorado. We have a great high-tech industry that would be able to set up a database like this, and employers would be able to then signal what jobs they have available and the skills that are needed for those jobs, and people would then be able to match their skills to those, and would help to guide the education system also in terms of what skills they need to be providing and teaching to people in their curriculum.
And I don't know if you've had a chance to think about this much, but an issue that I hope becomes big in this U.S. Senate race is whether the federal government should enforce federal marijuana laws. And as you know, marijuana, a controlled one substance federally, Schedule I controlled substance, federally, But right now, the Obama administration has decided not to enforce while it waits to see how legalized marijuana plays out in Colorado. And the administration has cited key concerns of whether more marijuana gets to kids, whether Colorado marijuana is being shipped out to states where it's illegal. So, you know, from my point of view, I'd love to see the feds say, okay, Colorado, we've seen enough. There are enough problems here. We're going to enforce federal law. But do you have a position on that?
I think what you've described is actually pretty much what my position would be in terms of waiting and seeing how things go on a federal basis. But right now, the people of Colorado have spoken and said that that they desire to have marijuana be available legally. And I think with the restrictions that exist at this point, I would encourage the federal government to not necessarily step in. If it becomes clear, however, that there are greater problems that are becoming a national threat, then I think the federal government will need to enforce its laws.
Yeah, and I look forward to having that conversation with you as we get together more. It's also going to be interesting to see if it becomes an important part of the Senate race. I think it will be. It's interesting. Michael Bennett came out, I think it was the New York Times. He told he thought that this situation in Colorado was, quote unquote, insane, this legalized marijuana situation. And I know he's not your opponent. Udall is. But it'll be interesting to see if Udall will take that on and what approach Cory Gardner takes to it. Let me ask you more globally. Dr. Steve Shogan, our guest, and this is going to be fascinating, the doctor entering the Senate race. I've only known you by your sterling reputation and as a doctor-patient relationship in the office. I don't really know your personality that well. Are you one of these kind of fun people, persons who's going to enjoy, you know, mixing it up and pressing the flesh and going out there and meeting folks all over Colorado? Is that your style? Are you more reserved? How would you describe yourself?
Well, I think there is a dichotomy. I think I've been certainly described by patients as being pretty serious in the office. But I think that when you're dealing with the problems that we do as neurosurgeons, I don't think that you want to have someone who's necessarily going to be jovial and laughing all the time.
Right.
But for the most part, I think I am a people person and enjoy meeting people. And I'm looking forward to being out on the campaign trail and meeting with a lot of people throughout Colorado.
Yeah, because I've got to tell you, and obviously you've thought this through very well, but I think you're going to thoroughly enjoy just traveling the state and meeting folks. I've had a little bit of opportunity to do that over the last few years, and it's a blast. And Colorado's small enough that there's a chance you catch fire, and then all of a sudden all the normal dynamics sort of go out the window.
Well, and that is certainly the hope that I have and the hope for our campaign.
Well, let's stay in touch, Doctor, because I think, and this is self-interested, obviously, but I think candidates who use talk radio are very wise. I think you have a lot of candidates, including Mark Udall, who are afraid of it because they're afraid they can't answer the tough questions, they can't handle themselves well, they're going to make a mistake, they don't need it because they have $10 million and another $20 million in 527 money. But I think insurgent candidates, you know, fresh candidates like you, even major party candidates who have the self-confidence to use talk radio can get $5 or $10 million worth of value just out of using this talk show and talk shows around the state. So, you know, it sounds like you're up for that, and I think you're smart to be.
And I would love to have the chance to come back and talk with you in more detail about any number of issues.
Yeah, and let's get you in studio. I know my friend Pete Boyles is going to have you on Monday. He has a very large audience as well, and look forward to the conversation, sir.
Well, likewise, and thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. That's Dr. Steve Shogan. This is going to be fascinating. You know, the doctor's entry into the race. He's a big time guy. He's a serious guy, and it's going to matter. I mean, you know, whether he wins or loses himself, his involvement in this race is going to matter, and I definitely would not count him out.